All right, take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 28, if you will. Proverbs chapter 28. I preached this message for my teens in the chapel this week. And after I preached it, I thought, you know what? I think this is something that the rest of us could probably learn some things from. It's kind of a different message. It certainly isn't a Christmas message, but I think it's going to be profitable to us here. So let's read here. We're going to be in Proverbs 28, verse number 19 through 22. Proverbs 28, verse number 19. It says, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread." In other words, if you work the land, you know, you plow it up, you cultivate it, you plant, and then you go back and pull up the weeds. You know, you till the land, work it. It's work. It's work. "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread." Let's say it this way. Those who go to work will have their needs provided. "But he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough." In other words, he that just lets the land lay idle will just get weeds. And a lot of times we follow vain persons. In other words, well, you know, we don't have the time to do this today. Let's go out and let's go over to the casino. We'll make some money that way. We don't have time to do that today. We'll do it another day. And you know, sometimes the mundane things of life get boring. But the fact is that you'll find that these things work. Now look at verse 20. "A faithful man." Now, what he means there, it means is a steady man, one who stays at the task, one that you can trust to stay on the job. He's consistent. "A faithful man shall abound with blessings." A lot of people say, "Well, God's not blessing me." Well, when was the last time you went to work? "Well, I haven't found the job that I want." Well, maybe you need to work the one out you don't want right now till you find the one that you want. There's some principles in the Word of God here that sometimes we forget, especially in our culture. So it says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." Get quick rich schemes don't usually pan out. Even if they do, in the long run, you end up being worse off than you were. And again, say, "Well, instead of going to work, I'm going to go down to the casino. I know I'm going to hit it big." Now, this really isn't a message about gambling, but that's become a big thing in our area here. And verse 21, "To have respect of persons is not good. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress." In other words, trying to flatter and schmooze people to get ahead will most likely lead you to do some immoral or unscrupulous things. But look at verse 22. "He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." Let's pray. And I'm going to preach on this. Slow and steady wins the race. Slow and steady wins the race. Or you can have a subtitle: work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. There's some things we need to understand here. This is, you told us to learn all things, to teach us all things, whatsoever have to observe all things, whatsoever have you've taught us. And your word is principles in here that we need to understand. Lord, I pray that you'll bless our time here. Again, it may be a strange message, and I'm not sure why I'm pressed to do this morning, but it could be maybe some folks need to rethink some things they're doing and line them up with your principles. So, Lord, I pray that you'll bless our time in Christ's name. Amen. Our theme this year has been "Always Abounding, for your labor is not in vain." Now, of course, there's spiritual applications to this phrase. However, there are some practical applications to this principle. In fact, the practical applications of this principle are also given to us by God and thus makes them spiritual as well. To not obey the practical applications of our Lord is to sin against God. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And one of the constant issues that plague a developed society such as we have is laziness. Many people work with the goal in mind to stop working. They work hard for the main purpose of retiring. And of course, we become limited in what we can physically do as we get older. But God intends us to continue to be productive one way or another. God also promises to provide for us. He promises to provide for those that are productive. Our affluent society has folks in it that have forgotten this. We have become a welfare state, and many people think they are clever and ahead of the game if they can come up with a scheme where their needs are provided for little or no work on their behalf. And at that point, we're trusting some man to provide for us rather than the Lord, because the Lord has a different design. Our nation is training its citizens to rely on government, to be their provider and literally their God. Our president, when he was running, said he's fighting for the soul of America. And I'm afraid he might be gaining it. At the point that we're trusting some man here, we no longer have the Lord as our God. And our nation, remember that if government becomes our God, then we are at the government's mercy. If the government controls our welfare, then government controls our life. And if the government controls our life, then we must obey the government in order to have what we need for life. And if the government is the one that provides our every need, even electric for our cars and our stoves and anything else we use, because they're going to make other things obsolete, then the government can pull the plug on us and turn off the switch on us, and our lives are no longer our own. Now, I said I preached this message to our high school chapel this week. And the more I work through it, the more I realize the adult society needs these principles reinforced as well. See, the Lord has a design for society. And that gives us the freedom we desire. But it requires work on the individual's behalf. I've often said that the Bible really has everything you need to live a successful life. I don't know if you knew this, but the Bible even tells us how to make butter. Proverbs 30:33 says, "Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose brings forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife." Just as you keep churning that thing and churning that thing, you're eventually going to get butter. If you just keep pestering people and taking, just trying to drive your point home and causing strife, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem. You just keep forcing the issue. And there's some principle in there. My point is this, is what we're going to talk about today is a practical thing, and God's telling us how to live life. Again, he told us to teach us to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded us. Now add to the word of God the work of the Spirit of God, and you have wisdom for life. And as we studied earlier this year, in 2 Peter it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life." The mundane things of life that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Listen, live like the Lord teaches us to live, and you will see God working in your life, and you will have a peace about it. You'll have peace within the context of it. Listen, you work hard, and God knows you're working hard. You know that God blesses. Don't worry about what's going to happen. God will take care of your needs. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, there are many folks who get all theological, but are seldom practical in their faith. And the Lord gives us clear instructions on how we should live and behave in life. And we need to believe His Word, trust His Word by living by His Word. And that simply means to obey His Word. Do what God says and things will work out best in the long run. Today is a simple, practical principle of life that's commanded by God, and yet it's one that many folks ignore. Many people think they have a better, more efficient way to do this, but God has a plan and a program, and He wants us to follow it. The plan is best for us in a multitude of ways. Not only the best way to accomplish our goals in life, but it will be the best for us to accomplish it in this manner. Less problems, more successful. It will not lead us into sin, which hurts us. And some of you are going to think this is a silly message, I'm afraid, or at least odd. However, many of the ills we have in our society is a result of not teaching these principles, biblical principles. We are to observe all things in the Bible, and there must be a reason the Lord has put these things in His book. He only has so much space and chose to include this, and so we must be important. Let me give you the first thing. God has established a work ethic. God has established a work ethic. In Genesis 2:15, it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Now, there was no sin yet. Work is not punishment for being bad. In fact, tell you the truth, man needs to work. We need to have and you know what? That's why we have hobbies. You know what hobbies are? Working at things we want to work at, not what we're told to do. Some people spend a whole lot more money and a whole lot more labor on their hobbies than they do on their work. Because why? Because they want to do something. They want to have a reason to get up in the morning. And God has put that in man. He said He put him in the garden to take care of it. Remember, when he created the earth, He created all the things as they are. Now, there's been some development, you know, and there's hybrids and all those kind of things, and things have cross-pollinated and all those kind of things. I understand. But you know what? There's some bushes that you have to trim or they won't work right. Did you ever notice that? Fruit trees. You need to trim fruit trees or they won't produce the fruit. After a while, it just gets kind of weird. God did that on purpose. Those are things we're supposed to be taken care of, to keep and to dress it. Some of the things are just bushes. We get the design in any shape we want. Adam, listen, what was Adam going to do all day? He wasn't going to watch TV. He had to think, boy, you're all still asleep this morning, aren't you? God provides all our need, and He does so through the process of work. Work tends to keep us out of trouble. An idle mind is the devil's playground, the old saying goes. Do something productive or you will find yourself doing something destructive. And when trying to solve, the juvenile crime and delinquency problem in our country, we don't need more ways to entertain the teenagers. Now, they need some time to have fun. I understand that they're not quite adults and they're not really kids anymore, and that's why we have youth group, and that's why they get out and do some things and so forth, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying. But the fact is, a lot of times we'll say, well, the problem with our juvenile crime problem is we don't have enough programs and things for the kids to do during the day. But we're short on workers. Now watch me. I'm not saying put them in a sweatshop and pay them pennies. I'm not saying that. But we need to encourage our teens to be productive. Get a job. Earn some money. Start helping to pay their own way. In fact, it's good for them. They become independent. We are trying so hard to keep our kids as kids rather than helping them to develop into productive members of society. I'm not saying you make them adults all one time. I'm not saying that. But let them grow into being adults, being productive. We need to help them learn a trade or a profitable skill. Let them earn some money of their own. They'll feel better about themselves. They will realize they can have a good future ahead of them. They will be helping society. They won't be stealing money, but they'll be building life skills. And this is why we need to keep the minimum wage low. Because who wants to pay a 15-year-old $15 an hour? You know, you can't do that. But you know, but he's not trying to keep a household. He's working a little pocket money. And so, now again, don't put them in sweatshops or things like that from working for pennies, but let them become a profitable member of society. I mean, it used to be when by the time you were 5-6 years old, you learned how to milk the cow.
Oh, what was that so terrible? What a terrible thing.
Why? Because they didn't want to do it? And yet those same people learn to be productive and to work hard contributing member of society. Again, I'm not saying take away their fun. I'm not saying don't let them be kids. I'm not saying that. But I have a problem when you got a 15-year-old laying on the sofa all day eating chips and playing a video game, and he won't go out and mow the lawn. And dad has to work all day, or mom working all day, and somebody's got to go out and mow the lawn. We're not doing our kids any favors this. God has designed man to work. When he put Adam in the Garden of Eden, it was not punishment for sin. He had not sinned yet. He gave him the garden. It was a gift. And says, go, dress it, keep it, have a good time. Enjoy it. Make it look like you want it to look. Take a plant over there and plant it over there if you want. Have fun with it. You know what? There'd be less likely to be looting stores and stealing cars and killing other kids for athletic shoes and cell phones if they were out, had they had a job and be able to do something. I've said this before, and I don't take this wrong. All four of our kids owned their own car by the time they got out of high school and went to college. I'm not saying they had a bill by the time. They had paid it off. Now, they didn't buy a brand new car, but they weren't bad. Nathan, he's taking care of something here, I guess, for Sunday school. He's still driving the car. He's 29 years old. He's still driving the one he bought that had paid for before he went. He's still driving it. Still going well. When he was in college, didn't drive it a whole lot because he was out of town. But he's always lived close to work, and so he's still driving it. It was a good car. And, of course, if the C.R. Smith takes care of it, they'll stay good, right? But if you take good care of it. But anyway, listen, the way to solve juvenile crime is not by providing more after-school programs, but teaching them to work and make something of themselves. Listen, the leftist Marxism is teaching our children to be reliant on government. They are scared of an intelligent, educated citizenry, so they are not really interested in educating our children, and they're interested in indoctrinating our children. See, this is what we're doing. We don't realize what we're doing. We are actually developing a society that's going to be totally dependent upon government, and government will then threaten us with flipping off the switch so that we'll do what they want us to do. Marxists do not want to develop leaders. They want to keep citizens as followers that they can herd around like sheep. God says, work, be somebody, do something. God designed a society that's free. That's just not political talk. That's the way God designed it. Our politics was designed the way God designed the earth. That's why we have what we have. So, number one, work. God designed a work ethic. Number two, man thought he knew a better way and tried to go around God's program. Man still thinks he knows a better way and tries to get around God's program of work. Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and tree to be desired to be make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You say, what are we talking about here? Satan says, you know what? This will make you like God. You can probably make decisions and get around out of all this work. Why don't you just be like God? God's the one's telling you to work. Why don't you just become like God? Yeah, but if I do that, I'm going against what he said I should do. Well, that's because he wants to keep you down. Well, God doesn't want to keep us down. The consequence of trying to get around the principles of God, no matter what those principles are, such as the ethic of work, the consequence of trying to get around the principles of God is being chained to more problems, not freedom. Genesis 3:17, and unto Adam he said, after they had sinned, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shalt bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. His sin just made his work harder. He didn't have all the thistles and the thorns and all the problems when they had the garden the way God designed it. When we do things the way God designs it, it works so much better. And one of the things that God designed is for us to work. Number three, the New Testament says it this way. Paul says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. So, number three, don't work. Don't eat. That's God's plan. Now, watch me. We never gave our kids an allowance. But there were times we paid them for what they did. If they were doing something for me. Now, if they're just doing something for the household, which they participate in, I didn't pay them for that. They should be paying mom because she did most of it. You know what I'm saying? So they're participating. You know, you teach them to work. You teach a four-year-old to make his bed in his room. Now, he's not going to make it like mama's going to make it. But you go in and of course, he thinks it's really great. Well, tell him, okay, it's good. Good job. But, you know, eventually they'll get better at it. Our kids my wife was a whole lot better at this than I am. Because I'll be honest with you. My dad worked me. I worked around the house, but my mom babied me. She took care of everything. But anyway, Janet made sure our kids knew how to do their laundry by the time they're 12 years old. So I don't need to do your laundry. You're practically an adult. You look how big you are. You're smart enough to do this. She taught them how to do their laundry. I still don't know how to do the laundry. But they did when they went off to college. In fact, I didn't go away to college because I figured I didn't know how to take care of myself. I'll be honest. I went from one mommy to another. That's just the way it was. And it wasn't good. Now, my dad taught me to work to do the other kind of things, but I didn't know much about working around the house. But my kids did, and they got to college, and they had no problem. They've been doing this for, you know, 7-8 years by the time they got to college. They learned. We work. First Timothy 5:8 says this. Remember, I said, work. If we need to work or we'll get into trouble. First Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, God's not expecting you to go out and steal to take care of your family. And he's not expecting you to go out and gamble to take care of your family. So how do you think he's expecting you to take care of your family? Work. Work. He says, if you don't provide, you're not doing your part, you're worse than an infidel. You're going again, you're denying the faith. Watch. Now watch this. It says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Well reported of for good works, for she hath brought up children, if she hath lodged strangers, if she hath washed the saints' feet, if she hath relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse to take care of them. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. You know what he said? Retiring is not necessarily a good thing. You get yourself into trouble if you don't have something to do. Now you don't have to. Now you get older, you don't have to work, you know, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, you don't need to do that. I understand that. And by the way, you shouldn't be working 7 days a week anyway. Just throw that out. We haven't got to that point yet. But the fact is, he says, listen, we got to be doing what we're doing, because before long, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. We'll be into everybody's business. That's why a lot of times, I'm just being honest with you here. That's what a lot of times when the empty nest things happens. You know the old analogy of the mother-in-law. She's over the house all the time, telling us how to do this and how to do that. Well, I'm only helping. I know. And be honest with you, she may be wanting to help, but she has too much time on her hands. When your daughter gets married, your son gets married, they establish a new household. They don't want you telling them how to run their household any more than you wanted your mother-in-law telling you how to run your household. Remember that? Well, I had to live through it, so I guess they will. No. Two wrongs still don't make a right. We get too busy. If they want to ask your opinion, let them, let it open up. Keep the doors open. But it's not our job to go around and tell them how to run their life. So anyway, if you don't work, you don't eat. You take care of your family. You do what you're supposed to. Number four, don't rely only on you to supply your need. Well, wait a minute. Didn't you just say that it's all on me? And then you're going to say, don't rely only on you to supply all your need. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. If I work hard, which is what the Lord told me to do, and I stay at it, a faithful man will abound with blessings. God says he'll provide all my needs according to his riches and glory. Didn't say he'll provide all my wants. Didn't say I'm going to have a place down on the shore. Didn't say I'm going to have a boat for the Susquehanna. He might. Maybe he won't. Didn't say we're going to have a new car every year. But God, my God, shall supply all your need. The Lord is, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. My God shall supply. James 4:13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas we know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is vain. What I'm saying is, we should go out and work. But you got to remember where the blessings come from. Well, I worked for him. Because God gave you breath and he's going to provide your needs. Remember who provides your needs. And how do you get into the, how do you access that process? By working and trusting in Him as you work. Number five, if you want God's plan to work, then we must work when we're supposed to work and not work when we're not supposed to work. In other words, we need to follow God's work schedule. Now, we're supposed to live by faith. See, folks have a problem with this. We've got to balance this. There are some people who get the idea they're going to work, and all of a sudden they start working 12-hour days, 7 days a week. And they're making a lot of money, maybe, but the marriage goes down the tubes, the kids go down the tubes, your health goes down the tubes. Besides that, you're living for the money. And watch this, if you're working 7 days a week, then you're not in church. You're not hearing God's word. And I'll guarantee you, you're not spending an hour reading the Bible and studying yourself. And so now we're not walking with God. And we don't walk with God, how are we going to know how God thinks? And we spent months this year talking about the fact that we need to be adding to our faith, diligently adding to our faith the knowledge of God. So that we're not blind and not be able to see afar off. So God has a work ethic, but the work ethic is put into proper perspective of the rest of God's plan. Exodus 20, verse 9, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Exodus 34, 21, 6 days shalt thou work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In the earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. But I got work to do. We can't do this. You got to make hay while the sun shines. He says, if it's a Sabbath day, we don't work. Well, how's that going to work? Well, I don't know, but my guess is God will take care of you because He said He would. Just like when the manna came down from heaven, He says, now don't gather up enough for 2 or 3 days because it's only going to last 1 day because it'll stink. But when you gather up on Friday, it'll be enough to cover the next day too. Well, how's that going to work? Just trust me, it'll work. Well, isn't it going to rot like the others? Just trust me, it'll work. You know what the word Sabbath means? The resting. Now, it's not just physical resting. It's resting in God. Trusting Him to provide our needs according to His riches and glory. As I do it His way, which includes a work ethic, keeping and dressed in the garden. Exodus 35, 2. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doth work therein shall be put to death. Leviticus 23, 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. We need to follow the Lord's schedule. We're supposed to work when God says work. 6 days. He says, don't work on the seventh. You realize both are true and both are commands. Part of doing our work, watch, is resting on the Lord's day. That's part of the plan of work, to rest on the Lord's day. Exodus 23, 12, 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. In other words, there's times when you let your workers rest. They need rest too. We forget that. I mean, I loved where I was working before I came here, but there were some years early on where they literally worked 7 days a week, 6 nights a week. And, you know, Sterl, I've apologized to him several times. He was 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, and Daddy was never home. I was home a little bit on Saturday night, and I was usually putting together my Sunday school lesson for the next morning. He didn't have a daddy for several years in there. That's not right. Well, providing the food, listen, your kids need a daddy more than they need another car. Or even another toy. Let daddy be their toy. Play with daddy. There's times we need. Make sure that we're under the hearing of the Word of God. We've got to put this thing in perspective. Exodus 31:15. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy unto the Lord. Whosoever doth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Now, we're not going to put folks to death for not coming to church. But we're looking at the law, not grace. But watch this. That's how God looks at it. He says, I don't want this. That's how serious he is about you having a day where you spend it with the Lord and your family. That is so important to God. He said, "That listen, you might as well die if you're not going to do that." I won't get into it, but in Nehemiah, when they got the walls up and the people started, and the city started, the commerce of the city started going, the peoples from the other cities started showing up at Jerusalem selling their wares, selling their goods. And they were showing up on the Sabbath day. And Nehemiah said, we don't do business on a Sabbath day. Well, yeah, but the world just kept coming in. Well, you know, they're offering this. I mean, and you hate to say it. They were probably doing their, you know, their fire sale on the Sabbath day. And, of course, those folks said, well, you know, but it's such a good deal. I probably should, you know, I know it's the Sabbath day, but I probably should take advantage of this. And so they were doing that. Finally, Nehemiah says, don't you go out there and work on the Sabbath day. Listen, God by his grace has put us back into Jerusalem from 70 years of captivity. I don't want to blow this. This is part of what God told us to do. This is part of our sign between us and God as God's people. We're going to keep the Sabbath. Do you hear me? And by the way, you folks out there, sell, don't you come over our door trying to sell something on the Sabbath day. You go back and read it in Nehemiah 13. Don't you come to our door trying to sell us this stuff. In fact, he says, he testified against them. And he says, let me find it here. I can't, it's right there, I can't find it. This is what he said. You show up at our door trying to sell us stuff on Sabbath day, you're going to have to mess with me. He really, if you go back and read it, he's saying, I'm gonna wear you all out. I said, don't come here, and I mean it. We'll have you thrown out on your backside. That's how serious he was. That's how serious we should be. Work when God says work, and rest when God says rest. Number eight. When work when you are supposed to work, rest when you are supposed to rest, and the Lord will take care of making sure you have what you need. Now back to our original passage. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. He that followeth after vain persons, they don't deal with the way God wants them to do. They shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich, quick rich, so I can, I'll get rich real quick and then have time to rest. No. Just do what you're supposed to do every day. He that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. You'll end up doing something you're not supposed to be doing. To have respect of persons is not good. For a piece of bread thou man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. I have heard people say, well, we're young, and so we work on Sunday because we're going to make money. Then once that all gets settled and we've got some money in the bank, then we'll start coming to church. So what you're saying is you're the one who provides your needs, not God. You're going to do God a favor. So when you're the preacher, of course I didn't become a pastor of a church until I was 43. I'm an assistant pastor by 30. But I practiced this when I got my first job at 15. I didn't work on Sunday. And I saw him and said, that means I can't work here, then I don't work here. He can do whatever he wants. But I'm not going to work here if I got to work on Sunday. But I'll work hard. I'll work every Friday night and every Saturday night. No one wants to work Friday and Saturday night. But I'll work Friday night and Saturday night if you want me to, but I'm not working on Sunday. He said, well, I guess if it's an emergency. I said, I'm sorry, sir. I was 15 years old. I said, now if that means I can't work here, that's fine. Because you're doing me a favor. You didn't say you were looking for somebody to work. I just knocked on your door and said, I'm looking for work. And I'll work hard for you, but I'm just not going to work on Sunday. He was a Jew that ate ham on his matzah bread during Passover. I mean, he didn't give a hoot about all that stuff. We had pork on every Saturday night. He would work and I'd work with him. We'd have pork sausage on our pizza. We would bring every evening, every Saturday night to eat. He didn't care about that stuff. In fact, he kind of made fun of me a little bit. But that's okay. He paid my paycheck. And he even tried a couple times. He called up and said, I know, it's a Saturday night. I need somebody to work tomorrow morning. I know you don't want to do that. I said, I have to go to church on Sunday. I sing in the choir and I'm going to church. I'm not going to. He said, yeah, I know. But just this one time, I said, I'm sorry. I can't. You know why I did that? Because I fear God more than my boss. He said, well, you might get fired. That's okay. God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. If I seek first the kingdom of God and his... You've heard me. How many thousands of times have you heard me say that verse? And I believe it with all my heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things are added. Are we going to trust God or are we going to trust the world? Doing wrong things in the effort to make money not only will not work the way you think it's going to work in the long run, but it also puts you at odds with the Lord, and you will find the Lord working against you rather than for you. Do right, even if it seems like the long way and the hard way, because it will be the blessed way, and God will see to it. Proverbs 13:11, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. You know what that means? Get a job. You got something in mind you want to buy? Work for it. You know, as a kid, kids are, you know, they're starting to, they're going to go out and make some money and buy a bike.
I want that bike.
Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But man, when it comes, God, boy, there it is. You actually enjoy life because look what I did. God helped me. Look, God, with God's help, look what I was able to accomplish. Instead of just giving it to them. You ever know rich kids are spoiled and they don't think they have enough? You ever seen that? A lot of times rich kids don't appreciate anything because they don't have any idea what it costs, the labor that it takes to get it. A quick buck will not provide well for you. Easy come and easy go. Number 9, don't just think you're going to live off your inheritance. An inheritance may be gotten hastily, the Bible says in Proverbs 20:21. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. There was a young gal, this has been some years ago now, and life was just a mess, and she was just barely out of high school. And I said, what's your goal in life? And she, with a straight face and with all sincerity, she says, my goal is to get married and live in my mother's basement. That's her goal in life, to live in her parents' basement. Now, God said, go out and work. Do something with your life. Number 10, ready for this? Don't be slothful, work hard. Y'all know what a sloth is, right? Hangs around the tree and does basically nothing. Now watch me. Ephesians 6:5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Workers, not with eye service as men pleasers, not just working when he's looking, but as the servants of Christ. Listen, you're representing Jesus Christ. So when you go out and work for somebody, you represent Jesus Christ to that person. They're not even saved. Well, all the more. Let them see Christ in you. Work hard. Do right. He says, not as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Colossians 3:22, almost the same thing. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there's no respect to persons. Listen, you're not getting away with it. It's going to work for everybody. Now watch me. Proverbs 12:21, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Work hard and you will work your way up through management, everything else. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Work hard while you're working. Proverbs 12:27, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Lazy people often waste what they do have, and then they complain that they don't have it because they expect everybody else to give it to them. Proverbs 18:9, he also that is slothful in the work is a brother to him that is a great waster. Watch this. You know what a lot of people do when they don't work? They sit around and drink and waste the money they do have. Listen. There are people who do a whole lot, I have 4 college degrees, and there's folks who don't have one single college degree who make a whole lot more money than I do. But God has been good to us, and we have everything more than we need. But there's an awful lot of people who spend most of their paycheck on alcohol and cigarettes and gambling and paying a lottery. They're going to hit it one of these days. And you know what those folks who do hit the lottery? You go back and study how many of those families fall apart because of the money. A fool and his money are soon parted. And if you can't afford toys and trinkets, fine. But don't expect others to be paying for your toys and your trinkets. Or you pay for the toys and trinkets, and they pay for your food. I've got to stop there. It goes on and on and on. It's time to get out of here. The way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns. The way of the righteous is made plain. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom. He will not as much as bring it to his mouth again. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse the labor. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. Any excuse will do. I can't go to work today. Can't do it today. No, I can't do it tomorrow. I got this I got to do, and so forth and so on. I always got an excuse. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown up with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. This is what I learned. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. This message may have seemed a little strange. And maybe it didn't seem to be spiritual. But it is. That's why it's such a problem. God has a plan, and we don't take this plan seriously. And it causes all sorts of issues, both personally and financially. This is not difficult, folks. It's common sense. God intends us to work. And work is good for us. And if we would work hard, we would not need to, by the way, we wouldn't need to go to the gym. Instead of working out at the gym, why don't you go split some wood for a widow lady? I'm not saying it's wrong to go to the gym, but I'm just saying, you know, if maybe there's other things we can do. To not work when you're healthy enough to work, I believe is a sin. Work when you're supposed to work and rest when you're supposed to rest. Go to work on work days and go to church on the Lord's day. We're not here to make a quick buck so we no longer have to work. That's not why we don't do that. We don't make a big buck so that we know how to work anymore. The goal of working is not to retire, but to accomplish with our lives what God has called us to do. Work may be a four-letter word, but it's not a bad word. And we don't need a get-rich-quick scheme to have what we need. We need to be blessed by the Lord. Just stay at it. Slow and steady wins the race. A faithful man, a steady man, one who stays at the task, shall abound with blessings. It'll be abundant and exceedingly full with good bestowments from God. But he that hastes to be rich shall not be innocent. I know that's a strange message, but it's a principle we need to go back to and live by on a daily basis. This is one of the things God told us to observe to do. And this is what we make sure we are teaching our children to do. You're not doing them any favors by doing everything for them. You teach them to work in a kind and gentle way. It's a good thing. It's not punishment. It's a blessing.